get around a crowd this size or we have people watching online, that there may be someone that does not know the Lord the way that I know the Lord. And it is my goal that by the time I end preaching that they do know the Lord and that they know who Jesus is. Amen. I was thinking, and many of you, you guys saw that video. That was 110% my idea. I promise you that. Matter of fact, when I went to Brother Kanan and Miss Abby about it, they said to me, "Are you sure that you want to do this, preacher?" I'm like, "Yes, absolutely." Listen, you can't take yourself too serious. Amen. And if I didn't laugh and smile and cut up, I would fall over dead. I'm telling you now, I need the humor in my life. There are some things, I get loaded down with so much serious stuff that I need humor, amen? And so I thank the Lord that the Lord gave me emotions and that he allows me to enjoy humor and laugh at myself too, amen? I enjoy that. So with that being said, Gateway now has a TikTok account. Amen. And so we are foolish not to utilize free resources. People now in our day and time, they do not go, they go to one or two, they don't call their neighbor up and say, "Hey, how do I get to such and such place?" No, they go on Google Maps and they find out how to get there. We don't sit down as traditional anymore and watch the news. They say, "Let me see what's happening on Facebook, what's happening on X, what's happening on TikTok." That's where they get their news from. Listen, we're foolish if we don't utilize that and get in there and get to those people and reach the people. Did you know there are thousands of people right around our area that have never heard the gospel? And we got a church full of people that know the gospel message. And if we can utilize something like that to reach out, I'm all for it. Amen? And I'm thankful that you're here today. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Uh-huh. Yeah, y'all are just as shocked as I am. I was sitting back there studying John chapter 15. And I preached this message, and it might have even been a couple of months ago. Just to be quite honest with you, I loosely keep a record. But I just got just overwhelmed with this thought of salvation. And so Acts chapter number 16, we read a story of probably one of the greatest conversions of a man who had been raised against everything that he was turning to. See, sometimes we think that there are too hard of cases for the Lord to reach. And I promise you, there is no such thing. I have watched some big men who said they weren't afraid of anything crumble at the gospel message. I have personally watched people who said they had no fear, but they wouldn't go into a room at a funeral home. You know why? Because death slaps you in the face. And it doesn't matter how big and how bad and how awesome you think you are. Death comes for all men. And when that reality hits us in the face, we know that we need more than what we can produce. I want to look in Acts 16 and verse number 23 is where we'll begin reading. Many of you Bible readers, you've heard this story before, and you know it, and it's one of mine. It's near and dear to me. The whole Bible is near and dear to me, but I like this story. It's up in the top 10, I would say. Verse 23 said, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Did you catch that? That verse says that they got beaten. You can, on your own time, go back through there and read what they were beaten for, giving the gospel out. Verse 24 says, "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. We'll stop reading right there. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you did in this story. We thank you, Lord, that you took this man and you showed him compassion and you loved him where he was. And God, you saved him. Not only him, but his whole house. Thank you for this story. Thank you for how it relates to us. Lord, I pray if there be any men in our room or watching online that does not know you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, if there be any man that is not saved, that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior of their life, I pray, God, that today their heart would be pricked. They would see themselves in need of salvation, and they would put their faith and their trust in you and in you alone, not in their works that they do, not in their goodness, not in what they are or who they think they are, God, but in you and in your ability alone. God, send strong conviction. Holy Ghost, move in this service this morning. Save someone. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 that there is neither salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that name is the same name that they said in verse number 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And while I'm speaking up here, I'm saying the word saved a lot, and I don't know if you understand completely what that means. So in order to understand what it means to be saved, you must understand that there is sin, and the Bible says that we've all sinned, and if there is no sin, then there's nothing to be saved from, so you don't have anything to worry about. But there is something to be saved from. And if you have never put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and on His finished work on the cross of Calvary, you've never trusted Him as Lord of your life. Friend of mine, you are in danger of not only physical death, but eternal death. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Sin separates us from God. Sin disables us in the service of God. See, sin is the inherited nature of mankind. It is against God. We are born against God. We are at enmity from our birth against God. But God made a way. And thank the Lord for that. Sin began in Eden, and it continues today. You do not have to look far to see that sin is rampant. Sin is a reality in all human life. Everywhere that there is human life, there is sin involved. An old saying that I say a lot, and I heard it a long time ago, where men are involved, sin is involved. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." We have a generation now that seems to believe that they don't sin against God. I believe that that thought process has been around for quite some time, but we do have people that believe that if they just do a good work, that it will cancel out a bad work or a bad thing that happened in their life. They are people that do believe that if they just give a little extra money down at the church house, then that will absolve all of their sin. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. The Bible teaches us that it is the blood of Jesus, right, plus nothing, minus nothing, amen, that will cleanse us from our sin. Amen? Because of sin, God created a way that we can escape sin and its power, and this way is called the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." It is this gospel message that brings salvation to those who will believe. Now, I mentioned social media. We have the ability to have knowledge of events happening around the world within seconds. And we have to decipher whether or not they are true or they are fake. When we hear about an event, when we hear about something that happens, we have to decipher whether or not it is solid information from a reputable resource. We have adapted to that, and I believe that there are people that apply that to the Bible. I can assure you that this blessed old book that I preach from today is as reliable as any other source that you'll ever find. It has stood for many centuries, and it will stand for many more centuries if the Lord should tarry his coming. This word is completely reliable, and if you will believe that Jesus died on the cross, was there in a tomb for 3 days, and then rose up victoriously of his own power and volition, you, my friend, have put your faith in the gospel message. That is what being saved is. It's not about you doing a good work plus believing the gospel. It's not about you giving money plus believing the gospel. It is the gospel, and it is only the gospel, that will save your wretched soul. It is the gospel, and only the gospel, that will deliver you from death's chilly hand. It is the gospel, and only the gospel, that will change the trajectory of your family as you try to be a man and to grow up and to serve God. It is the gospel that will deliver your family out of heartaches down the road. It is the gospel that will bring you to a place where your family will glorify God at your deathbed and say, "Daddy loved Jesus. Daddy served Jesus. Daddy cared about Jesus. And because of that, I was born again too." Maybe this is going to be a Father's Day message. I guess I just need to go ahead and preach to the daddies today. Amen? My goodness, this heavy weight of responsibility we've got, Dad. Do you know how much influence you have on your children, Dad? Do you know what it is that you mean to them, Dad? And instead they see you with a stinking beer in your hand instead of a Bible, and then you have the audacity to say that you're a man. You're not a man, you're a stinking drunk. Try and convince yourself that the only way that you can cope with reality is through alcohol or through drugs or through pornography. And you go back and forth in your mind, twisted up in your head, can't get nothing right, and what you need is the gospel. We live in a day that will twist your mind in a hurry. And this blessed old book is the pure, unadulterated words of God. If drugs and alcohol really helped, you wouldn't have people celebrating recovery the way they do. Amen? Amen? You better amen me, girl. You wouldn't have people celebrating being delivered out of that mess. See, you think you're getting away with it and you think everything's all right, but Dad, the little ones are watching you. And their life will follow your life. Boy, you've got a responsibility, Dad. Oh, this man here was getting saved, or he got saved. He was an old rough jailer. He was a Roman jailer. And may I remind you that it was the Romans who perfected the art of crucifixion. They knew how to inflict the maximum amount of pain to bring you to a point where you are almost dead, but not quite dead. And they knew how to make you suffer and to continue to make you suffer for the maximum amount of time and the maximum amount of suffering. That's what this guy was. He was a Roman soldier turned guard, and he was charged with keeping these godly men who were locked up for preaching the gospel, because the world hated them as it hated Jesus. And at midnight, while their feet were bound in the stocks of the inner prison, old Paul and Silas prayed and began to sing praises unto God. And that old wicked jailer, see, his only solution, we ain't even got to the points yet. That old wicked jailer's only solution was to take his life. That was his solution. I'll just end it all. I'll just get it out of me. I'll just not have to worry about it.
Come on, bro. Come on,
preacher. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it is a weak individual who decides that it is easier to take an exit than it is to just go ahead and surrender to God. Listen, friend of mine, if you're facing suicide, it is very real, it is very serious, and I want to encourage you to seek counseling. But don't think that you're going to help your family by taking yourself out of the equation. They need you more than that.
Amen.
Dad, how else them little girls gonna know how that they ought to be treated by a man? Unless daddy don't show them. How's them little boys gonna know how to be a man? You take just about every problem that we're facing in society, and it goes back to dads not, but fathers not being dads. We got a very serious problem when we have children who are twisted up in their mind trying to change their biological makeup. Amen? Oh, y'all okay? We have a very serious problem in society When little boys are not taught how to be men because a man didn't want to man up. Our little girls seek acceptance by being told things about themselves that flatters their ears for a little bit. Y'all okay? When if daddy just would have went ahead and loved on that little girl, now I'm talking about the right kind of love. If you a stinking abuser, I'd like to have a couple minutes alone with you. Y'all all right?
Don't you dry up on me, church. Somebody better say amen right there.
Amen.
Why don't we just go ahead and go in the back room, go out to the woodshed and meet for a little while. You find what it's like to get tangled up with a grown man.
Come on, brother.
Hey, man.
You're right.
You all right?
Amen.
I'm feeling pretty good now. This Philippian jailer got under some good old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction because them same prisoners that he locked up and made sure that they were tight in them stocks are the same guys that was sitting in there saying, thank you, Lord. I almost hear, Brother Dow, I almost hear old Paul look at old Brother Silas and say, you know what? Ain't God good? My feet's hurting, and they done beat the fire out of us. But man, what a joy it is to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And old Brother Silas looked at him and he said, you know what? You sure are right. Boy, I bet if we was just praise the Lord right here in this old jail cell, this old dungeon, we might see God work. And not only did God send an earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken and everybody was set loose, but a man got saved. Because some of God's people prayed for that man, cared about the situation that they were in. This gospel message brings salvation to those who believe. It is the putting of your faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary that He will save you. Salvation is completely the result of God's love in action. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together. Dad, let me make it make sense to you. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, though they be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What does it mean to be saved? It means putting your faith and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Salvation is by grace through faith. Being saved does not come by what you do. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Salvation isn't your goodness plus Jesus. Salvation is in Christ alone, friend of mine.
Amen.
And I wish that you would put it in Him today. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We see a lot where dads are just trying to make a way. Just doing the best I can. Daddy, I get that. But it's no excuse. What if the best you can is getting in the Word of God and reading about what kind of man you're supposed to be? What if being the best you can or doing the best you can? You know, listen here. Kids, I love you, but you ain't got to have the latest and greatest of everything.
Amen.
Mamas and daddies, it's okay to say no.
Amen.
Hey there, Brother Josh, I wish you'd preach some more on that. It's okay. Might just build their character. Might be okay if I had to work for something. One of them won't even look at me. Now he is. What if doing your best is surrendering unto God? What if doing your best is, Daddy, it ain't Mama's responsibility to wake them babies up on Sunday morning just for you to sit in the recliner at home and do what you want to do while Mama carries the babies to church. It ain't mama's responsibility to get everybody together and get you to church. Dad, this is up to you. You got to wake up with that purpose in your heart. We're going to go to church today. We're going to serve the Lord today. We're going to go let that crazy man scream at us some more today. We're going to go watch Brother Silas hula hoop for a little while longer today. That's a timeout. That's a first. But I liked it, bro. I don't find anything in the Bible says we can't hula hoop. Yeah, I said it. Dad, what if you decided you just gonna wake up on Sunday morning and just you won't know how to knock mama's socks off? Be the leader that God called you to be, Dad. You want your wife to. I remember years ago I counseled a sweet couple, and I didn't know nothing about being married. I didn't know nothing about, but they still come to me. They had been married for like 50 years, and they come to me for counseling. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I remember the wife, she stood in front of me in my office over there in another congregation. She said, all I ever hear out of him is submit, submit, submit. And he sat there with a grin on his face. I said it. And I thought, maybe they do need me. Dad, you want your wife to submit to you, to your authority in the home? Husbands, love your wife.
Amen.
Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You better amen me over there, woman. You want all that to fall together in your house? You want things to be easier at the house? You want things to work better for you? You want your mind to be eased? You're going to have to put your faith in Jesus and not whatever it is you're putting your faith in now. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. Daddy, something's got to change. Something's got to change. This jailer got to change that night because some Christians got to praying and some conviction set in. John 6:44 said, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day. Conviction is the divine revelation in your heart that you need a Savior. I believe there's some conviction going on in this room this morning. I have studied all week on John 15. I've studied those first five verses and could not connect my mind. At 10:47, I was sitting back there and the Lord said to my heart, spoke to my heart, if I can say that, spoke to my heart. I know, I feel like I know when he spoke to me and said, go back to that message. What does it mean to be saved? And so by 10:51, your pastor's sitting back here, and I'm getting things right with the Lord. Are you sure I want to preach this? So yeah, there's somebody in here need this.
Amen.
And I think you're in this room. I don't think you're just online. Maybe they need it online, but I believe you're here. I believe God brought you here for the specific purpose to where you could hear that you need to get saved. What God could do in your heart and in your life when you get born again. There's another thing that happens, repentance. Isaiah 1:4-6 says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away. They're gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. The heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. We got a bunch of males running around here with wounds that you ain't never cared enough to get some of that balm of Gilead smeared over them. trying to lead a family. And that's why you can't lead your family. Because you got an open wound. And every time that open wound gets touched, it causes you to go the opposite direction of where you need to go. And it causes you to do something other than what you're supposed to do. There's no man on earth that'll heal you like Jesus will.
Amen.
And your mama, your wife, at my house we call each other mama and daddy. Either that or, never mind. Your wife needs a healed man leading that family. You got wounds? Bring them to Jesus. You got sore places? Bring them to Jesus. Acts 17:29-30. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold, silver, stone, graven by art or man's device, and at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance means three things. It means allowing God to change your mind. It means allowing God to change your heart. It means allowing God to change your actions, because actions speak louder than words. It is a turning from your sin to Jesus as your Savior. There's another thing here, submission. When a person submits to Jesus as Savior, they submit to Him as Lord of their life also. James 4:6-8. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Submission enables sanctification. And there's confession that happens. Matthew 10:32-33 says, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. This is what makes it difficult for a man that's not submitted to God to confess Him in front of your friend. That's why it's easier to tell a dirty joke than it is to walk away. That's why it's easier to indulge in ungodliness than it is to say, no, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to serve God. See, it's not our reputation so much that matters. It matters a little bit, but it's that character. It's what you do when nobody's watching you. It's how we act when nobody's there in the room to tell us not to do something. It's the self-control that we exercise when we don't have anybody there to govern us in our sin.
Amen.
Sometimes we had to confess. You know what? Maybe you're not enough to make it happen. Maybe you do need Jesus. I know you're not enough to absolve your sin. I know you're not enough to be able to get yourself out of the funk and the hole that you're in. But I know the great deliverer.
Amen.
And I also know that you can be saved today and come up out of all this mess. You can be born again. You can be delivered. You can have your feet set up on a solid rock. You can have your ways established and your goings established.
Yes, sir.
You can have the one that knows your downsittings and your uprisings there with you. You can have He who controls the universe. You can have the one who tells the sun to rise every morning, tells the stars to twinkle at night, created the moon, created this earth. You can have Him who has all that power and all that ability abiding and living inside you. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can be born again today. If you reject so great a salvation, the Bible says, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first was spoken unto us by the Lord and confirmed unto us by those that heard him? How shall we escape? What are you going to escape? You know, you're not promised anything past right now. You have plans. We have plans to go out here and have a good time, and I hope that it goes great all afternoon. I hope we have a wonderful time. But you're not promised anything, Dad. You're not promised that you're going to make it out of the driveway. Death is imminent. And it is very real. It doesn't matter if you're in your 20s. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager. It doesn't matter if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s. I have stood at the head of the casket of a 5-month-old baby. I have also stood at the head of the casket of a 97-year-old man. And all ages in between. It doesn't matter. Male, female. I don't think this is a gamble that I'd be willing to roll the dice on.
Amen.
Man, you could have the peace of God. You hear people talk about it.
Amen.
You hear people talk about it. The peace of God which passeth all understanding.
That's right.
The love of God which passeth knowledge. You can have that in your heart and in your life and in your home. You can have peace down there at the house. Through Christ Jesus. Through him alone. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But even right where you are, you can bow your head before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior.
That's right. Amen.
I repent of my sins and I put my faith and trust in you and in you alone for the saving of my soul. Just, it ain't even got to be those words. Just confessing him, Lord, of your life. Trusting him. Believing on him and not on you anymore. Will you do that today? You can be born again today. Man, I sure would like for you to walk down this aisle and let me know what God's done in your soul today. Father, in Jesus' holy name, as we come to this place in our service, this invitation time, Lord, where we invite people who trust you. Lord, I pray that your conviction would set down in the heart of these individuals that have heard this gospel message. Lord, I pray that your power would reveal itself to them and they would put their faith and trust in you and in you alone. Pray, God, for my family members that are lost. Lord, I pray that you would help them. God, I pray that you would save them. Lord, I pray for my friends. Lord, I pray for my friends that I went to school with. You know them, Lord. You know where they're at. You know that they need you. Lord, I pray that you'd save them. God, I pray that our church would have a strong burden to see souls saved. Father, there will be hundreds of kids come in here this week. Lord, I pray that as they come in here that we would faithfully present the gospel to them. And that not just them would be saved, but their daddies and their mamas, their brothers and their sisters. Cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents. God, I pray that you would send revival. It come through your name. Have your will in your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?